The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God, and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There isn't any question what prompted the shepherds to go to Bethlehem on the first Christmas to look for a baby lying in a manger. Luke tells us that the angel of the Lord had announced to them the birth of a Savior, who is Christ, the Lord, and given them the sign of a baby in a manger to identify the child. The shepherds had quickly gone to Bethlehem, where they found everything exactly as the angel had said. There's no mystery about why the shepherds went to Bethlehem or how they recognized the newborn infant that they were seeking. With regard to today's gospel, however, there is plenty of mystery. First are the two witnesses to Jesus' presentation in the temple. They seem to have come out of nowhere, and we never hear of them again following this account. Both Simeon and Anna are introduced as godly and pious individuals. Luke describes Simeon as righteous and devout, but that's pretty much all we know about him. Tradition suggests he was an elderly man, but if you read Luke carefully, you find that he really doesn't give any clue about Simeon's age. Concerning Anna, we have considerably more information. We have her father's name, Phanuel. She was from the tribe of Asher, and she was a widow. We might even know her age. She was at least 84 years old, and possibly more than 105. The Greek grammar here is a bit equivocal, so we can't be more precise than that. Luke also writes that she was a prophetess, though precisely what that would have involved in that era isn't really clear. There's one other thing Luke mentions about these two that's very important. They were both people who were waiting. Simeon, Luke writes, was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He had taken to the heart prophecies like these of Isaiah. "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Or again, "Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted." Luke doesn't record for us precisely what Anna said, but clearly she too was involved in waiting, for he reports, "Coming up at that very hour, Anna began to give thanks to God and to speak of him," that is, of the infant Jesus, "to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem." To all who were waiting. The faith of Simeon, the faith of Anna, the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the faith of all of God's people, is not simply for here and now. God's trusting people are always a waiting people, people who wait for the intervention he has promised, people who wait to be delivered, people who wait for full and final redemption. The season of Advent, the season of waiting, is over. Christmas is here. But like Simeon and Anna, we are still people who are waiting, who have heard God's promises, but still must wait for their ultimate fulfillment. The day when our faith will finally give way to sight. Luke's record makes all of these things clear, but beyond these, there is mystery in this lesson. How did Simeon and Anna know that this baby boy, not even 6 weeks old, was the one for whom they had waited? And how did they know all the wonderful things they prophesied about him? With regard to Anna, the answer is pretty simple. We aren't told, so we really can't know. Luke reports only that coming up at that very hour, Anna began to give thanks to God and to speak of the infant Jesus to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. It may be that she had heard Simeon's words. Luke doesn't indicate one way or the other. And that believing what Simeon had said, she then excitedly spoke about all God's promises the Messiah would fulfill. On the other hand, there may be no natural explanation. Whatever the case, like the shepherds who had hastened to Bethlehem and then made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, Anna also broadcast the news about Jesus. She spoke of the child to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. But what about Simeon? The short answer is that with him, the Holy Spirit was involved. Somehow, at some unknown previous point, the Spirit had revealed to him that before he died, he would see the Lord's Christ, that is, the promised Messiah of God. What the fathers most desired, what the prophets' hearts inspired, what they longed for many a year, ever since Adam and Eve, was promised to Simeon. He would see the Christ. This boggles the mind. Even without knowing how or why he was given this revelation, it's incredible. Out of all of the faithful of Israel, God chose this man and revealed it to him. You will not die before you have laid eyes on the Messiah, the Lord told him. And Simeon believed the Lord. The Holy Spirit was also involved in Simeon's presence in the temple at just the right time and in just the right place. Though the temple was the busiest place in the largest city in Palestine, the Spirit guided Simeon to the temple at the very hour when Mary and Joseph brought in Jesus. Mysteriously, we can only assume that this too was the Spirit's doing, Simeon then took the infant Jesus into his arms, praised God, and prophesied concerning this child. Lord, he said, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. It sounds as if Simeon is saying, Lord, now I can die happy. What I wanted most and what you had promised me has now been accomplished. But there's really more to what he is saying than that. He confesses that this child in his arms, the Lord's Christ, means that death is no longer a fearsome thing to him. In Jesus, God has established peace between himself and man. Peace. This is the consolation of Israel for which Simeon waited. The redemption of Jerusalem to which Anna had been looking forward. The peace on earth among men with whom God's favor rests, of which the multitude of the heavenly host sang. Simeon rejoiced on seeing this child, because through him there would no longer be condemnation, but rather perfect peace with God. It's as if Simeon were saying, you've kept your promise, Lord. Now I can die at peace. But even more, I can greet death without fear, knowing that you have now brought life and immortality to light through this child. In this little baby, I have seen your salvation. Salvation you've prepared for me, but also salvation you've prepared in the sight of all people. How could Simeon say all this? It is exactly as Jesus would later proclaim. Flesh and blood did not reveal this, did not lead to this confession that he is the Christ. Only divine revelation can allow a person to see in an infant not yet 6 weeks old, or in a criminal being executed on a cross, God's salvation. Paul writes, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But God revealed these things to Simeon and reveals them to you and to me through his word and spirit. Thus Simeon saw, and we can see, that Jesus is the salvation of God, the one who restores peace and wholeness to a relationship fractured since the beginning by man's rebellion. With knowledge from the Spirit, Simeon actually prophesied how Jesus would accomplish this salvation. He would be the stone the builders rejected, one over whom many would trip, but the one God planned as the capstone. As Simeon put it, "This child is appointed for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Jesus is the living and active Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. He brings consolation, redemption, peace. He is God's salvation. But for those who oppose him, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. In just a few moments, you and I, as Simeon once did, will hold Jesus' true body in our hands, here in his house, at this table. As the Lord granted Simeon to behold and to hold his Christ, his only Son, so you, trusting in his word, with eyes opened by faith, will see and receive your Savior, who gave his life for you on the cross, who shed his blood for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Here today, this one who was wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger again unites you with himself, entering into you through your mouth and down your throat, to strengthen and sustain you as his own, to life everlasting. And so, when the supper is ended today, we will again join Simeon in his song of faith and praise, making it our own. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you've prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the salvation he has prepared and revealed to you. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.